TPE Network. Fun yet informative podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TV and Movie Reviews brought to you by TPENetwork.com. I'm Hank.
And I'm Mel.
And this time we're going to be reviewing Fall Guy. I know we're a little late, but it's still a pretty new movie and a movie that a lot of people slept on. Mel, to start things off, you want to go over some of the characters and actors?
Yeah, that sounds great for me.
So Ryan Gosling, he played Colt Sears. I thought he did an excellent job. That's just my opinion on the matter. I loved his portrayal of this character. Not saying it's believable, just saying it was fun.
Agreed. I've always said that his comedic chops is pretty good. You put other movies together that he was supposed to be funny in, like I think it's called The Wrong Guys or The Other Guys. Oh, sorry, The Nice Guys. in The Nice Guys, him against Russell Crowe, that was he was pretty funny in that. And then I'm not sure if you saw his recent guest hosting on Saturday Night Live, but he plays Beavis from Beavis and Butthead.
No.
And I will not do that one justice. So I'll say look it up if you get a chance. But he definitely has comedic chops.
And I'm a Emily Blunt simp. So I think she's awesome in all her roles. I really liked her character in this one. She felt a lot more down to earth in this movie. Maybe she does in all her roles. Maybe that's why I think she's such a good actress. But I like that character of Jody.
we might have to zag on this one. I will come to a little nitpicks later, but I think of Emily Blunt as Quiet Place and, you know, Edge of Tomorrow. So I feel like maybe someone else could have done this just because this was kind of a mean girl role when it should have been like a professional director. But we'll get into that later.
We're definitely going to disagree on this. Aaron Taylor Johnson as Tom Ryder. My goodness, dude. Is this Quicksilver? Am I correct?
It is Quicksilver, but or you could say I believe it's Lemon from Lemon from Bullet Train, if you want to go that route.
Achievement unlocked. We just have the first double entendre of the episode. All right. I thought his character was absolutely over the top obnoxious, the typical Hollywood idiot. And, you know, he achieves that. He reminded me so much of like the Logan Paul and what's the other Paul, Jake Paul, the Paul brothers. He reminded me of one of them. That's exactly what I felt like he was going for.
Just in general, that nice guy or famous guy on a screen. But when you meet them in person, you know, they're complete jerks. I got that from him. And of course, you know, famously, I had that problem when I met Al Pacino. Don't meet your heroes, kids. But yeah, so I could completely believe this one.
Nowadays, they have surgeries for what he was looking for.
No.
You can be,
no, thanks. You can,
Mel, you can be everything to all people now.
Well, without the surgery, technically, you can just say it.
I think I am.
Just say it and you are.
Believe and achieve. One of those deals. Hannah Waddingham as Gail. And if this isn't the most stereotypical movie producer, it's like Hollywood has one gear for how they portray that role. And I mean, she nails it, but it's so over the top and just typical of what you would expect from Hollywood.
Agreed. I mean, how long into the movie before you just say, hey, she's in on it, she's the bad guy? Like, it was just
like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was just kind of, I mean, not saying she did a bad job, but no, it was kind of a cookie cutter role, in my opinion.
Most certainly. Winston Duke as Dan Tucker. I thought that character was pretty good, pretty likable.
Agreed. I wouldn't say Black Panther, but definitely Us. Like, he won me over in Us. And so ever since then, I'm just like, he can do no wrong for me.
Are there any other characters? Those are the main ones. Are there any other ones that you want to touch on before we move on?
No, I think that's good. I will also like to put in later a category called, you know, they wasted a perfectly good character. We'll do that later.
Okay. I always like to touch on settings. Since it's a movie set, I thought they did a phenomenal job of like taking you behind the curtain where you think it's like this giant production. And then you peel back the layers and you're like, oh, they're confined in this 20 by 20 space, you know, and stuff like that. I love stuff like that.
Yes, I loved the juxtaposition of this is what it looks like to us, but this is reality. And I was like, wait, then why do they need to be in front of the opera house? I was like, are they going to use the city opera house? Because it doesn't look like that's going on. But I agree. I like the setting.
Okay. All right. Shall we get into the wins and problems portion of the review?
Yes, please.
Okay. Now, it was nice to see Quicksilver resurface, but that character is just totally over the top. And it is every time Hollywood has to portray itself, they do that with the producer and with the star actor. They do that same trope that they're just terrible people. So that was something I just did not like. It would have been cooler had they maybe gave us a little change up on that and made one of them more likable. What do you think?
Yeah, it was a little over the top in some points, but once again, you know, truth in real life. Hey, did you get the note from him? Oh, you mean the prayer hands emoji? Like, nobody thinks that way in real life. Like, I get that they're jerks. I mean, I've met a few of them. But this was like, I mean, they know how to put up a good front. So this was kind of weird that it was that over the top. But once again, it is a comedy, so they can't really be that realistic.
I did not like that they made that line. Is this a passing line? And I think I might be taking it too offensively, but it is something to the effect of, you know, the audience, they're the dogs. And I was like, oh, like, I think they were trying to frame it in a way of, hey, this is what Hollywood would think of the fans, and it's wrong. But the way I kind of took it was a little more like, ouch, you know, like a little personal shot.
Well, actually, I kind of agree with that one. It's like, hey, we have to have a flashy message and hope that we could get it past everybody and, you know, what have you, like how Marvel's was hidden to be girl power, but apparently nobody bought the message.
Hey. Oh, man.
The hidden message was supposed to be girl power, but they also...
also they in your face.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, did you get the message? And you're like, yep, loud and clear.
But it's just a matter of, what did you wrap the hidden message in? Oh, we also hit that in girl power. Well, there you go. Where's the bacon?
There is none. There absolutely is none. Here's this pill. Swallow it.
Yeah, so I actually kind of agree with that one. It's because some of the stuff you just have to say, hey, is it a comedy? How much of this stuff is realistic? How much of this is tongue-in-cheek?
Yeah.
Whenever they go behind the scenes or they talk about methods in general, which I'll just go right along to the split screen.
It was like they were workshopping in real time.
Yeah.
Like, hey, does a split screen work? You know, is it too much? Is it too? I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
And then for me, I thought it was going to be foreshadowing because at one point, I don't know if you remember at the beginning of the movie, they were like, hey, we got to talk about how about we just mention how Act 3 doesn't work? and I was like, wait a minute, what's going to happen at Act 3?
That's excellent, dude. And that is excellent.
Yeah, so there was a lot of points that they did that was behind the scenes, that was tongue-in-cheek, that they didn't take themselves too seriously, I felt. So that definitely won me over.
Okay. I did not like that little passing line, and it is only because I do keto from time to time. But when he yells at the star, "You need carbs." I was like, man.
I love that one because it's a one last ditch effort to try to talk sense to him. And he's just like, this is why you're not making sense. You need carbs.
He goes, your brain runs on glucose. And I was like, I was sitting on my couch. I was like, you can also run off a ketone. So stop it.
Yeah, I actually appreciated that one.
I did not like the over-the-top simping that was happening in this movie. The simping of, the our lead character, the way he's trying to put himself out there when he's trying to get back in. It was just so over-the-top. I was like, please don't let this be a message to people out there.
Well, speaking of messages, how about a message to be a professional director when you see your ex and you're wasting everybody's time, you know, making multiple, can we talk about this now? Making multiple burn runs and, you know, it's.
Do it again.
Do it again. Do it again. And it's just like, I get that, you know, heaven forbid he got hurt and he was in his feelings and he'd have talked to you. But I mean,
I was like, you know, some women are vindictive, but this is a bridge too far.
Exactly. And, you know, let's never call out
the other way.
Reality like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean, still, it was resources. I mean, that flame material isn't cheap. So resources, time. And I mean, once again, he broke his back. So we try to, are we trying to injure him again?
Again. So, so this time you'll leave forever, you know.
Yeah. And so I kind of I could deal without that scene.
Now, another thing I did not like was the subtle jab at AI. Now, let me be clear. I am in filmmaking. I'm working on my second film right as we speak. And I don't use AI. I'm not a big proponent of AI and stuff. But this movie was so heavy against AI that I was like, you know, they only talked about the terrible things that can happen with it and such. And I was like, well, that's kind of sticking out like a sore thumb.
And you just pointed out the hidden message.
Oh, wait a minute. There we go. I did it. I'd like to thank the Academy. Oh, wait a minute.
So on the outside, it's a love letter to stuntmen, of course. But of on course. The inside, it's a message that human beings make the world go round as far as movies.
Yeah.
But no, I agreed. let's never forget the travesty of the AI credits for Secret Invasion. So.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think only John could stand up for that one. It's like, whoa, all the art has six fingers and six toes. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah,
gotta love that stuff.
My most egregious thing on my hate list of this movie is the alteration to the original theme song. I hate that they changed the words and such. Now, whether they did it because of licensing, I don't know, but I'm assuming they did it because some of the words might not in today's day and age be politically correct. I wouldn't care in this movie. I would have just loved to hear the original song, the original lyrics from the TV series.
Agreed. No argument there because at the end of the day, is it a homage or is it a parody? So, I mean, you have to kind of give it justice and no argument there.
All right. But there are a lot of things I did like about this movie. I have a lot of them. But do you want to throw something out there before I go?
Yes. Let's do a category called They Wasted a Perfectly Good Character.
Uh-oh.
And so first things first is the assistant. The assistant was sharp. She knew what was going on. And she was in all of one scene. she was able to fight off bad guys. She didn't do that whole screaming and yelling help me thing. Like she, well, maybe she did at the beginning, but she definitely took care of her stuff. And, you know, she fought off the guys. She did what she needed to do. And they'll never see her again until the mid-credit scene. And I thought they wasted that character. And then a writer's girlfriend, you know, she was in on it, but they don't really mention that. So she got away. I don't know if you remember. She got away scot-free. She didn't get removed from the movie. She was in on it, just like the producer and writer, of course. And everybody got their comeuppance except her. They didn't show her get comeuppance. I think it would have helped to show a foil as far as a, hey, this is what the actor looks like with his woman. This is what the stunt guy looks like with the director. Like, I think it was a missed opportunity, especially if you're going to start it off with her introduction by like a 5-minute sword fight with a fake sword. Like, clearly you want this character in the movie. So
she was promised a role.
Yeah. So
is that the Iggy? Is that the Iggy star character?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I was like, I forgot all about her, to be honest with you. I just watched the movie yesterday. That's horrible.
Oh, yeah, I mean, she's the main actress. We don't see her, you know, on set. We only see her in his room, his apartment, or studio, what have you. She fights with Colt. We never see her again.
That is outstanding. Oh, my goodness. That's outstanding. And the fact that I forgot about her is really hits the nail on the head.
Yeah, not a good look for the lead actress in a movie within a movie.
No, that's probably, yeah, that's pretty rough. In fact, she's listed higher up on the cast list than some of the other characters. They got way more screen time. I did like the valet parking moment. I thought that was hilarious.
Were we supposed to remember that guy, or was he not in their opening scene?
I don't remember him, but it was funny the way he was like, yeah, I remember you. You know, they do that same trope in just about every movie where the lead character's trying to get away somewhere, but somebody recognizes them and stuff. And you're like, okay, all right. Yeah, I did a movie with you. Like, would you really remember the stunt man? Would you really?
I heard that happens to you with ex-girlfriends. Hey, I know you. You can't. I heard you can't get groceries. Like,
I most certainly will never do those apps that deliver stuff to your residence.
Oh, God, no.
No. All it takes is one mishap.
Say no more.
Go sideways quick. Hope you enjoy the secret sauce. You're like, what?
Oh, no.
What? I like the bullhorn moment, the back and forth on the bullhorn. Like, it was so over the top ridiculous that they're just going back and forth and back and forth. And everybody's watching and listening. I'm like, this is so ridiculous.
I'm glad it was a hit for you. It was not for me, because time is money. And, you know, as you know, when you're trying to put a movie together, you know, you're wasting everybody's time, especially if there's only certain many hours in a day, daylight hours, and we're just wasting it with these two bickering, which they could just do later.
It does help when you are the writer and the director, and you can be like, okay, now this scene takes place at night. Just a quick change. You're like, what? The drugged fighting scene when he saw the unicorn and the effects they put on the screen. I really liked that.
I was worried that he wasn't really fighting and that it was all in his head. I was like, is he really getting away? So I was kind of weary at that. But man, I love that whole part. And then after the split screen, how the unicorn is still there. You're just like, uh-oh, still a little bit more.
Oh, that was excellent. The undercover message of director's jail. Like, a lot of people would not even get that reference. I get that reference because I'm in that space, you know. But if you have ever had a flop or if you've had a production budget and things go sideways or whatever, Then they put you in a little classification called director's jail where you're just not going to either A, get anything, or B, you're not going to get anything good. So I thought it was really cool that they slid that in there, because I don't know what percentage of the population would even get that reference and that joke, but I was sitting there going, oh my gosh, that's awesome. So it was kind of a little sneaky hit for me.
Director's jail. That's what the person who created a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Sean Connery's last movie.
Oof. Ouch.
Yeah, none of those actors recovered, I think.
I thought the truck kind of looking like the Fall Guy truck from the TV series was cool. I was hoping they would go a little further in on the callbacks from the TV series, but they didn't go as hard in the paint as I would have liked. But I thought the truck was good. And just to piggyback onto that, I thought the dog almost stole the movie.
Agreed. I love that dog. And as soon as they introduced it, I was like, we're not going to have enough of this dog.
Yes. And he is like, he can do everything. Except for I did get irritated when the Fall Guy goes through the glass and then the dog walks over to him and he's walking on the glass. I was like, I know it's prop glass and stuff, but if it were real glass, that would be like a terrible message, you know? So I was like, ooh, no, don't show that. Or don't show that scene.
Agreed. And also I have to question, how hard was this bites? Because it will bite the goons. And then the hired goons would just turn back around and still fight like a minute later. And I'm like, that's not how bites work.
No. Hollywood rarely ever gets fights correct.
Yeah.
I've never seen a guy in a street fight get knocked out cold and then get up like 2 seconds later and go do whatever it is. You know, you're just like, wait a minute. That defeats the whole knocked out cold part. But
I've seen plenty of fights where people were knocked out, and I've never seen one where they're back within a minute, yeah. Like, let alone an hour.
They're usually getting carted away in Hollywood. They're like, no, this cast iron skillet to the skull didn't hurt this guy hard enough. You know, he's back. It's like, okay. The Miami Vice jacket. Did you like that?
I did. I liked the reference. You know, he had to start somewhere. and the foreshadowing, because it was his first, one of his first real stunts. So, yeah, I appreciated it.
Other than the theme song, I thought the music was really good. Like a balance of, you know, 80s and 90s-ish style music, and then some a little more modern.
Okay, and finally, we have to talk about, you know, the elephant in the room. What did you think of the fights? You know, he's a stuntman. He's fighting. He's not winning every fight. Just, and it is, some of it's comedic and some of it's just straightforward. But what did you think of that?
I actually liked this movie a lot more than you would think, especially the moving fight scenes where they're on the truck and all that kind of stuff. I thought they did a good job. It's over the top and a bit zany in some aspects, but it was fun, and Hollywood lacks that a lot.
Exactly. I can't think off the top of my head any fight scene that I didn't like. I mean, I did question the timing of the moving fight scene, because she was singing in the daytime karaoke, and then when he got there, like, everybody's long gone, and I was... That kind of threw me off. But other than that, I appreciate everything that I saw as far as fights.
Oh, that was on my list, too. Stuntmen fight. The Jason Momoa stuff. Like, is he in every movie?
Feels like it.
Yeah. He gets a cameo in every single movie. He's pretty funny, though, when he does, I don't know, his own Jason Momoa personality.
Did you catch the post-it note in the in Ryder's apartment? It said, is it Momoa or is it Mumoa?
No, I did not have to rewatch that.
One of the post-it notes had that written.
I got to rewatch that now. I want to see that. It's pretty funny.
Another one was why is Chinese chicken orange? Like, that's just all these great post-it notes in Ryder's apartment.
The cockatoo post-it I caught. sell cockatoo, get a koala or whatever, and then the cockatoo flies away. I was like, yes, get away from this idiot. Do you want to get into our overall ratings and such?
Yes, please.
You can start if you want to. Or...
Okay. Well, I think we should go and remind ourselves, since it's been a while, remind everyone of how the feedback score works. So I'll remind everyone that our ratings initiative, we pretty much have consistent guidelines for each movie and episode. From 1, which is awful content, to 10, which is perfect. Episode of Lost, Game of Thrones, and then around average is 6, and so on. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm going to go with an 8. Great. For what it was, rather. Yeah. Great writing, acting, storytelling, execution. It was straightforward. It didn't take itself seriously. I mean, you know, it was, by all means, no masterpiece, but what was there... besides the mishandling of two characters, you know, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. And I am right there with you, man. I absolutely love this movie. And a lot of my other friends are in shock because they're like, we thought you'd hate this movie because it's not a beat for beat of the original series Fall Guy. And it is more like paint by the numbers writing and such. But it just works so well. The cast they put together worked so well together and reminded me of a real cast that you put together, just all their quirks and all the attitudes and such. I loved it. I had so much fun. I bought the movie after I watched it. So I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10 as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good movie and there's things behind the scenes that you pick up that they didn't need to tell you. Like, for example, that stunt fight at the end, like, in theory, it wouldn't be hard for Dan to say, hey, this actor is being a jerk. He's the bad guy. Let's take him and his goons down. And all the stunt guys are in on it. Like, I mean, just little small things like that. And I mean, they didn't need to show us. As soon as he said stunt guys unite or whatever he said, that Braveheart moment, you know, I love it. It's just a lot of good things happen in that movie.
It was a blast, man. I am so glad that you agreed to review this with me because I wasn't sure what we were going to get when we were, you know, discussing on which movies we should review. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give that movie a chance. And I've heard some really negative reviews on it, but I think they did an excellent job, man. It's just fun. And it's at the right time. Like, Hollywood doesn't really have a lot this summer. And so I think if people give this a chance on streaming and such, I think they're going to really love it.
Well, I mean, you know, I think Hollywood is specifically giving everybody a chance to catch up with X-Men 97. And so I think, you know, I have to put an X-Men reference in there somehow.
Goodness.
Oh, gotta sneak something in there.
That is terrific. Yeah, are we going to review the Netflix Hitman movie, you know, pretty soon?
I have no problem with that.
Okay, so I think that might be one of the next ones Mel and I come back and do, because I want to see that. I want to see Godzilla Minus One on Netflix. I heard it just came out, so I want to check that out.
As do I.
So, oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Mel. Note that this Thursday, June 6th, 2024, marks 18 years of podcasting for TPE Network. So this week we have an interview with book author of the Honor Harrington series, David Weber. That's on our Honorverse Today podcast. You're listening to Mel and I. We're reviewing Fall Guy. You're hearing that right now. And we have some more special surprises later in the week. So 18 years of podcasting, it has been a blast. It's stuff like this that keeps me going. So thanks, Mel, for joining me.
No problem. Great being here.
All right. That is going to do it for this episode of TV and Movie Reviews by TPE Network. For Mel, I'm Hank. Until the next time, we're signing off. He didn't say anything.
TPE Network. There ain't nothing else like it.